God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, beginning with verse 26. If you'd like to follow along on your pew Bibles, I believe that is on page 1641. That's Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 26 on page 1641. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put on the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." It was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut out in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. This is our text. Not necessarily in the Gospel of Luke, but in another Gospel, we have Jesus' own words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Sometimes we may even say that in our own prayers as we come before our Lord and say, "Lord, my life is kind of miserable right now. Why do I feel forsaken? Why do I feel abandoned? Why do I feel left out? Why aren't things going my way?" We're sort of saying in between the lines. What is it like to be forsaken by God? Very clearly, God says to be forsaken by Him, in one essence, is to go to the cross, to die on that cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Are we ever truly forsaken by God, even though our lives may be down in the pits from time to time? But we're never really alone. God is with us. But we may feel forsaken. Next time some prayer like that comes out of our lips, let us think about the cross. Let us think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when we look at Him, we truly see what it means to be forsaken by God. Tonight, we'll pick up on that theme, what it means to be forsaken by God. What does it mean to suffer under the weight of the punishment of the sin for the whole world, knowing that yet Jesus did not sin? He did not deserve to die, but He died for us. And getting back to our text from Luke chapter 23, beginning, say, with verse 34, notice how Jesus responds to this great suffering. Notice how He responds to feel forsaken by God. It's not the same way how we would respond in our prayers. Typically, if we're saying these type of prayers, Lord, why have You forsaken me? We're usually feeling a lot of guilt, a lot of weight of sin. We may feel abandoned by God. We may feel that someone else deserves to be paying the price for our sin. Notice what Jesus says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Under the burden and weight of sin, being forsaken by God, Luke reminds us the first words, at least in the Lucan version of this, Father, forgive them. Is that our first reaction when something crosses our path and we feel that we are being unjustly accused? Is that our first reaction when some evil crosses us or some evil inflicts our lives or our family? Do we say immediately off the top of our lips, Father, forgive them? No. Usually we like to gripe, complain, and grumble. But if you take a look at the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross, you will see no griping, no complaining, no grumbling. It gets even a little bit worse. Jesus responds by asking the Father to absolve and to forgive all people. All people. Not just those people who agreed with Him. Not just His disciples. Not just the women who were following or the other people from Galilee. But even Pilate. Even the religious leaders. Even the soldiers. The soldiers and the people responded in a very uncaring manner. The soldiers cast lots for His own clothing. The people stood watching. There was even a mockery of Jesus four times. You have the rulers sneering, saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if this one is the chosen Christ of God. The soldiers also mocked Him, offering Him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was even a mockery, in one essence, say from Pilate, the government, the inscription above the crucifix, the King of the Jews. And then, lastly, one of the two thieves, also on the cross, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. All this mockery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all these people who are forsaking God, who are abandoning God, turning their backs on God. And what was Jesus' opening words? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Let me go back to that mockery, because even there's a very ironic point in the midst of this mockery. Even in the midst of their mockery, there is actually some decent words there, in case if you didn't catch it. The first form of the mockery, He saved others, let Him save Himself. The second one, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. The third one gets a little bit closer. The King of the Jews, but now the last one. coming from one of the thieves. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself. And what's the last two words? And us. Too often we gloss over this mockery, and it truly is a mockery, because we think of this thief could care less about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But notice in that very words that he uses, what is he doing? In one essence, he's offering up a prayer. Lord Jesus, save us. But notice Jesus did not respond. Notice he could care less about what that thief over there was saying. Why? There was no faith. He was making a mockery of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Scripture is very clear. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be going up to heaven. Only those who believe and trust that the Son of God was forsaken by God. Only those who believe in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Does Jesus here in this last mockery, we actually have a little form of a prayer. Jesus, save us. But Jesus doesn't listen. The reason why is these words were spoken not with a man who had a heart and love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but a man who was making a mockery of God, who was actually forsaking God, even though he was using the words, save yourself and us. But notice in our text, chapter 23, verse 39 and 40, there was a second criminal who hung on the cross, who rebuked the first one and said, don't you even fear God because you are under the same sentence, saying we deserve this. And then he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now these aren't words of mockery. These are not words of abandoning and forsaking God. But it's asking God to remember us who are sinners. Notice earlier he confessed his sins. And we justly, for we are receiving things worthy of those things that we did. But this man did nothing out of place, he says. He confessed his sins. Yes, I'm getting what I deserve. Jesus, remember me. Now, Jesus responds. Truly I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. That's what it means to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to understand that death and that resurrection for us today. Unfortunately, even in our own lives, we even forsake God. Whether it be, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why is my life so miserable right now, so to speak? Or whether it's forsaking God in another way. You see, we can, by the fact that we don't hear his word, by that we do not want to hear this word or receive that sacrament, that we ignore God, almost like that first thief. We sort of make a mockery of him as we say, Lord, hear my prayers. But then there's even another way, the way in which we understand the forgiveness of sins. Do you truly understand that the sins that you commit are forgiven by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And when were they forgiven? They were forgiven when he died on the cross. And they were completely forgiven. Going back to what he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What is Jesus doing here? But he's asking the Father to absolve all people of their sins. That means even the sins we commit today, yesterday, last week, last month. But how often do our sins haunt us? How often do those sins not go away, so to speak? And we may think to ourselves, we must do something more. And as soon as we get to that more part, we have forsaken God. Because unless if we look at the cross and realize that, yes, all our sins are forgiven upon the blood and crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we make a mockery of that. As soon as we put any but or any more to that statement, we just look to the cross and we are reminded we are forgiven. any but or more. We are putting to shame what Christ has done. Let me bring in two other people, not in our text for today, but two other people you may be familiar with. First of all, Peter, the chief disciple, who Jesus said, "You will deny me three times." Peter did that. Feeling the weight of the burden of his sin, of denying his own Lord and Savior, is there forgiveness? Is there forgiveness for the soldiers who put him up on the cross? Is there forgiveness for Pontius Pilate? Is there forgiveness for the religious leaders? Now let me ask, is there forgiveness for Judas, who betrayed him? Their answer is yes. There is forgiveness. But there was at least one of the four that I just meant, four groups of people that I mentioned, that didn't quite understand that forgiveness. We don't necessarily know about all the soldiers, but one of the soldiers in our text, when he saw how Jesus died, said, "Truly, this man was a righteous man. This man didn't deserve to die. This man was the Son of God." Peter was also reinstated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After his resurrection, Jesus comes up to Peter and says, "Simon, do you truly love me?" And three times Peter said yes. We don't know necessarily about Pilate, but now let me introduce the fourth character again, Judas. Is there forgiveness for someone who betrays the Son of Man into the authorities? Again, the answer is, what did Jesus do on the cross? Did he die for everybody's sins or just the select few? Since he died for everybody, I guess everyone has that forgiveness. But he made a mockery of God. Yes, he was contrite. Yes, he returned the money. Yes, he, in one essence, was sorry for what he did. But he gave up, in one essence, on the hope of the resurrection. He gave up on the glory and the forgiveness that comes from God alone. He thought there must be something more. And the only way he could satisfy that more was the taking of his own life. And the Gospel of John reminds us, then there was no life for him, not because he committed suicide, but because he gave up on the grace and mercy of God. As that first thief said, "Save yourself and us." Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," believes and trusts in God. There are some who still forsake God and will die. So what's the difference? The difference is when we look to that cross, now crowned with the crown of thorns, do we truly see our sins forgiven? Or do we want to add to this? Do we want to do more to this? Do we want to take away the glory of God? If we truly are forgiven when Jesus dies, then let's be forgiven. Let's be assured of our forgiveness. And that's why we come to the Lord's table, to partake of that same body that was crucified, that same blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We come to the Lord's table with that assurance, knowing that because he lives, we will live also. That all our sins have been crucified with him. And we are now children of that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, children of the Heavenly Father. But we make a mockery of it whenever we have to add to the cross. There is nothing we could add to tonight's message. It is all about what Jesus did, not about what I can do. So on this day, as we see our Lord and Savior crucified, forsaken by God, we ask God to instill in us that faith so that we do not forsake God by our own actions or belief, but that we are drawn closer to him. We come today confessing our sins to receive the very true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. We come seeking that forgiveness which he alone provides. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.